The authorities in this world that we live in are obsessed with controlling behaviour. I don't know if you've noticed that recently. They like to tell people what they can and what they cannot do. And I think we're actually at a real crossroads in human history right now. It seems to me that freedoms that we're all used to, freedoms that we hope will continue, may not continue. Some freedoms that we're used to may be lost. We've all had freedoms taken away from us during the pandemic, haven't we? And for good reason, we're told. And at the time, it seemed that way. Governments, scientists, experts, charities and organisations have all had their say about what kind of freedoms need to be restricted for a time for the safety of the overall population, not just in this country, but in other places too. From country to country, people's freedoms have been restricted to varying degrees. And in many ways, in this country, we've got it good compared to some other places. But there have been these restrictions for all people, across all nations. These have been deeply divisive. There are people who want to see these restrictions continue. They believe that there's safety in these things, but there are also people who regard these as being deeply invasive and even harmful to their health, mental health, as one example. These restrictions on our freedoms have restricted every area of life. From the amount of food that you can buy if you're ordering online, to who you can invite into your home, from where you can go, for whom you can mix with, how you can worship. And as far as I'm concerned now, I say, render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. There are certain freedoms that are lawful that we must all abide by, even if we disagree with them. There are always laws like that that you disagree with. But there are also freedoms, I think of, particularly relating to worshipping God, that we must take a stand for. We must lift our praises to God in song, no matter what anybody tells us to do. And it's taken something like what's happened with the pandemic to make us realise that those things aren't just a given, and that these things might be what we have to fight for, and that they're worth standing up for. We must learn from our experience during this pandemic, ensuring that our worshipping of God is not taken away so easily next time. Because there will be a next time. We're told by experts that there might even be a next time in 5 weeks' time. As we were given our freedoms back, and as we'll get them back tomorrow, we're also aware, or we should be aware, that the government also agreed to continue the emergency measures. They voted on that, and that will continue on. So they're allowed to tell you what you can and cannot do in an emergency still. And you see, as Christians, we must recognise, in amongst all this, where true authority comes from. When Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate, we hear how Jesus reminds him in John chapter 19 that he has no authority over him except that which is given him from above. Those who are in power across the nations of the world mistakenly think that they have power. But they only have power that is given them from above. Those in power mistakenly think they can dictate to the true followers of Jesus how and when they can worship God. They can't. Do they really think that they can hold the followers of the Almighty Elohim, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai, Yahweh, Adonai, from worshipping him? They can't. Could authorities hold back the followers of God, of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, the God of Moses, the God of Elijah and Elisha? Could they hold them back from worshipping him? No, they can't. Could the authorities stop the apostles? Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Simon, and all the others from preaching the good news wherever they went, even if it meant challenging their authority? They can't stop them. They couldn't stop them. Do those in power really believe that they can hold the true followers of Jesus in the palm of their hands and dictate what they can and can't do? They can't. And we need to remember that next time we're challenged. Because we don't belong to this world. We belong to God. We're only passing through this world. And this must be our attitude when we're told that we cannot worship God freely from now on. Why? Because it's what Jesus did. And we must follow his example. In our reading today, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the Jewish religious authorities said to Jesus, "What right have you to do these things? Who gave you the right?" Well, what things? What are they referring to here? What has Jesus done that has impacted them to the point that they will confront and accuse Jesus? Well, Jesus is walking through the temple when this happens. And if we just flip back to a bit earlier in chapter 11, verses 15 to 19, we can remind ourselves what Jesus had done. When they arrived in Jerusalem, Jesus went to the temple and began to drive out all those who were buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the stalls of those who sold pigeons, and he would not let anyone carry anything through the temple courtyards. He then taught the people, "It is written in the scriptures that God said, 'My temple will be called a house of prayer for people of all nations,' but you have turned it into a hideout for thieves." Don't stop people worshipping in my temple, Jesus said. This is God's temple. This is a place to pray and worship. What they're asking is, "What gave you the right to cleanse the temple of corruption, insisting that it be a place fitting for worshipping God?" That's what they were really asking, these religious men, these men who said they served God. And Jesus' response contrasted with the response of those in religious authority. And this tells the whole story. Jesus initially responds to them by asking his own question. And learn from Jesus in this respect. When cornered on a matter of faith by somebody, it's easy, isn't it, to go immediately on the defensive or to attack that person, throwing scriptural verses at them. Come out all guns blazing in defense of your faith. But when you're asked a question about your faith, take a breath. Ask the person who's asking you first to defend the position that they are coming from. I will answer your question, but let's first address what is at the heart of the matter, Jesus says. Tell me, where did John's right to baptize come from? Was it from God or human beings? And immediately the opposition are stumped, aren't they? They have nowhere to go. If we answer from God, he will say, "Why then did you not believe John?" But if we say from human beings, ... they knew it would be seen as being a denial of God. So they answered, "We don't know." And Jesus said, "Well, neither will I tell you by what right I do these things? Because their ears are closed off already, aren't they? There's no point in arguing with these people. And you see, friends, there are times in this world where Christian truths will just not be received when somebody confronts us about our faith. Because people are not actually always willing to shift from their own position. They just want to prove themselves right and to prove you wrong. Now, I had a conversation like this recently. The questioner asked me, why is homosexuality wrong according to Christian faith? I immediately went on the offensive, all guns blazing. I hit him with words from the scriptures. Boom. Look at the law from Moses. What does it say? What happens to Sodom and Gomorrah? I asked. They responded, but that's the old covenant. I don't believe that applies. We had a long discussion then about our differences in interpretation regarding which laws apply to Christians from the old covenant, and we couldn't agree on it. I didn't want to give up. Boom! I hit him with some more verses from scripture, from Paul's words in the New Testament that clearly forbid homosexual relationships. But they're Paul's words, he replied. I don't believe he speaks for God. Well, I was caught off guard. I was stumped. Two primary sources from scripture had been rendered by the questioner as inadequate, obsolete even. When I reflected on this afterwards, I realised that a much better way to have answered the question in hindsight would have been to ask him how he believes God communicates truth, whether he believes the scriptures are the infallible word of God, before attempting to answer his question, perhaps even asking him how he has come to the conclusion he has come to, that it's okay to practice homosexuality. The truth is, friends, as followers of Jesus, we are at odds with the world. Often the world doesn't want to hear what we have to say. And often the source that we regard as having all truth, God, his word, is rejected as not being any kind of truth at all. But through our faith in the absolute truth as laid out by God in the scriptures, we then become outlaws in this world, don't we? People don't respect our truth, and yet we must still stand on it. And if anything has been shown through this pandemic, it is that we live in a world of fear. They're not satisfied with how things are. But they will go to any lengths to do anything to protect what they regard as being important to them. The world we live in is gripped by fear. That is what we see now. That is what we see also in climate alarmism. That is what we see with those who want to eradicate human suffering, even if it means aborting the life of an unborn child or eradicating somebody's life before its time through euthanasia. And don't hear me wrong when I'm saying all this. I'm not saying that COVID-19 is not real. It has tragically led to deaths of a number of people, although we must remember that it's still a tiny minority in the overall scheme of things. I'm not saying that there is no possibility that we've damaged our environment in this world that we live in. I'm not saying that human suffering is not something that we should try to heal at the start and end of life. I'm just saying that creating an atmosphere of fear and living in fear is not the way we are to live our lives. We looked earlier, didn't we, at what God has created. God has created all this, and he says that it's good. As followers of Jesus, we know where truth is to be found. We know where true power and authority resides. They are both in and with God. The answers are always with God. And peace over all situations, no matter what the situation you are in, is also with God. A young man, a Christian who works in the catering industry, said to me the other week how he's living with so much anxiety in his life over whether or not there will be COVID passports introduced. He feels that these would limit the things that he can do, things that he wants to do that he will never be able to get back to doing. And there's no doubting that those with worldly power have been using things like this, the threats of introducing COVID passports, to drive up the uptake of people who are in their early 20s who are reluctant to take a vaccine that they're telling them they should take. And this young man said to me that he doesn't fear COVID, he doesn't fear getting COVID, but he's not comfortable about taking a vaccine that is not tried and tested and is actually statistically more lethal to his age group than the virus itself. He said he feels pressure being put on him by older people to tell him to take it, and by the government threatening him that he can't live his life in a normal way if he doesn't take it. He fears these restrictions, and he feels like he's a nervous wreck now. And I get it. I understand why he's lost his peace about these things. I understand where he's coming from. And I'm angry that this young man is being coerced into having something injected into his body. That whatever you believe about these vaccines, if he doesn't feel comfortable with it, he shouldn't have to have it done. And I'm angry that he feels this way. But he's a follower of Jesus as well. And so I was able to offer him some words from Scripture. And unlike people who have their ears closed, he was able to listen and find peace. I told him not to let these people steal his peace. And that Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And this needs to be the key difference between true followers of Jesus and everyone else in this world. It is the difference between those who believe in the Scriptures and those who do not. By recognizing where true authority comes from, it will set you free. You'll have peace. Whether it's peace to say, "Yeah, I want to have the vaccine," or whether it's peace to say, "No, I don't want to have the vaccine." It's remembering who is in control, and it's not letting anything that is going on taking that peace away from you. So I say to you this morning, be like Jesus. Don't let those false authority figures prevent you from prioritizing God in your life. Render all else to Caesar, but never let anyone take from you the peace that God has promised. And do not let anybody take from God the worship that is due to him. And I feel that as we have this so-called Freedom Day tomorrow, that for the church on earth, that is the real test that's going to come in 5, 6 weeks, a few months' time, whenever it happens, when we're challenged again. Will we worship the Lord, or will we be scared into a fear that stops us from worshiping him? What are we going to do? Well, I'll leave you to think about that. But don't have anxiety over it. Remember, there's peace as well. Right.